Okay, welcome. Again, three principles real quickly. Miles Coverdale, three principles in studying God's holy word. And I'm just reading the quote here. It shall greatly help ye to understand the scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. Okay, context. We've got to keep things in context. Second thing, be like the Bereans in Acts 17. Study what you hear taught, whether it's on television, whether you're sitting in a congregation. But study that out yourself, as Acts 17 calls the Bereans noble people because they tested those things which were said by the Scriptures to see if they were so. Okay, and then the third principle, why do you believe? What do you believe, and why do you believe it? Where in the Scripture can you go to say, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, because the Scripture saith right here. Three principles we always want to follow. Okay, so we started earlier. We're starting in the book of Acts, and we're going to go through, not the whole book of Acts, but just started Acts 1:1 in the first hour, and going through and where we picked up. So starting at Adam, we have about 4,000 years, Genesis through Malachi. Then we have the birth of Christ, and we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll just say the four Gospels that refer to this time period, that 30-year period that Christ is on earth. Okay? He is hung on a tree, crucified. He's buried 3 days, shed his blood for our sins. 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. For 40 days, he's on earth, shows himself to the 11. They replace, as we saw in Acts 1:1, Matthias becomes the 12th apostle, numbered with the 11 apostle. Okay? And then after 40 days, he goes up. He rises up into the air, into the clouds, it says. Okay, and the 12 stand there and watch him rise and go up to the air. Okay, then we start in Acts chapter 2, and it's the day of Pentecost, and the 12 are filled with the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues. Okay, but only the 12, as we studied earlier, were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. When they spoke in tongues, as we saw in Acts 2:10 and 11, specific languages. Okay, each man stood up and spoke in a specific language. It even names the languages that are spoken. Okay, that's what speaking in tongues was, and I emphasize was. It is not for today. But again, why? If you believe that it's not for today, why? If you do believe it's for today, why? Where can you go in Scripture and keep the whole context of the Scripture in place as the foundation of your belief? Okay, now that being said, let's pick up. So Peter starts preaching in Acts chapter 2, and he starts in verse 16 by saying, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And again, right, Joel chapter 2, you'll want to go back tonight and read that, but that's what he is quoting here. Okay, now let's pick this up in verse 31, 2:31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. He, David, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And I was kind of ahead. I want to make sure I'm almost clearing up something from my first hour. Okay, this is where Christ's soul is not left in hell, where Christ's faith, because I just want to jump on the faith of Christ. So this is the verse, 31, that Christ's soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we, who's the we? The 12 are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, that promise that he wouldn't leave his soul in hell. He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, okay, in light of everything I've just said since verse 16, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, right back here, both Lord and Christ, both owner and anointed. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We is who? Okay, all the people here, and if I may, the nation Israel. What shall we do? Now, verse 38, and here's where we can get so many different denominations going. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's just read 38 and 39 again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Okay, so I can certainly make a basis for Baptist theology. Repent and be baptized. You got to get water baptized. That's what he's talking about here. Those people had to be water baptized. Well, okay, now here's where the Church of Christ split comes in. And, let's go right to it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Of course, Church of Christ, no, water baptism is required for salvation. Baptists, no, it's not part of salvation. It's a sign afterwards, right, of your inward faith. Church of Christ, no, it says right there, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So right off the bat, we can get some conflicts going right there, can't we? God is not the author of confusion. Let's follow the whole thing through and keep it in context. Okay, but you can see if you just want to grab one verse or one little part, you can really get yourself chasing some funny rabbits, can't you? Not funny rabbits. There is a basis for it, but again, as we see the transition, never take your doctrine out of the book of Acts. It's a gradual fall of Israel, if you will.
Right. Amen.
Okay, Israel is falling gradually, chapter by chapter by chapter. As they fall, doctrine is changing. And it changes a couple of times. It's not just one change. Okay? So we have to watch this. That's why I always say, give it 6 weeks of studying. For those of you on the internet, you know, study with a teacher of rightly dividing for 6 weeks. Just give it 6 weeks and see if these things are so. Be like Acts 17. Okay, 39. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Okay, now let's watch what starts happening here. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's what they were commanded to do, weren't they? And that is water baptism. Okay, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay, I'd say a lot of people heard that message, that murder indictment. Acts chapter 2 is really a murder indictment to those Jews. That man that you crucified back there, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, God's holy Son. You crucified him. You hung him to a tree. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Repent. What's a good definition for repent? To change your mind. Okay, simple definition of repent. To change your mind about who that man was. And be baptized. Be water baptized. Now let's watch what they start doing here in 42. So first they get baptized. 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear. Wow, thought everybody's getting saved. How come we're not all excited? And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by whom? And again, I'm saying that because of some other denominations we may have that, you know, everybody's got to get the Holy Spirit and everybody's got to start doing healings and everybody's got to start speaking in tongues, or you must not be holy enough. Okay, again, why do you believe? You know, what do you believe and why? Stick with it now. Okay, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had how many things common?
All
things common. That's an interesting verse. Let's see if the Bible defines that for us. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Wow. How many churches do that today? How many denominations. Your doctrine now, if you're going to go to Acts chapter 2 to pull your doctrine for whatever theology that you're part of today, where does that fit in? On what basis did you exclude it? Okay, either take all of it or take none. You know, there's got to be a reason as to why you're taking some verses and not all the verses if you believe this is to you. And of course, again, just to clarify, when we say we are grace believers, that we believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, we mean finding which parts in this King James Bible are to us, all of it's for us. Acts chapter 2 is for us to know how God was dealing with the nation Israel at this time,
right,
what Peter was preaching, what they had to do. Again, remember, Peter thought that this 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, was coming. That's why they're selling out.
Right.
They think this is 40 days from the cross to the ascension. 10 days later is the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2.
Right.
They think this is maybe tomorrow,
right,
maybe next week, certainly not a year from now. It's happening now. Why do you think, backing up, and verse 43, and fear came upon them?
Right.
Go read Joel chapter 2 and see if you don't have fear when he stands up and says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. That's fear, gang. That's fear. They think that's coming. They think they're basically, if I may, they're entering the tribulation. Period. They think they're entering the time of the tribulation period. That's why there's fear. Not happiness and joy because somebody just got saved. You know, praise the Lord if somebody gets saved today. Or on the internet. Or, you know, or in a Baptist church. Or in a Catholic church. Somebody really got saved. Praise the Lord. These people, 3,000 of them, just got saved, if you will, according to what Peter told them to do. And fear came upon them. They thought they're entering the tribulation. So they sell out, have all things common. Okay, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, as should be saved, according to what Peter just preached. Okay?
Yeah.
Paul hasn't even been mentioned yet. You know, Pauline epistles don't exist yet. Okay, got to get yourself in this time frame.
Right.
When you're reading this, do not pull your doctrine from this because things change. Okay, chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple. So now we're still about AD 20, you know, the end of AD 29, AD 30. Again, April in AD 29 is when Christ is crucified. So we're still, you know, within a year now. Chapter 3 of the crucifixion. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A scheduled time of prayer. Know any religions that have scheduled times of prayer? I can prove it by the Bible. Okay, not for today. And I don't, well, okay, anyway. And a certain man, now watch this story, chapter 2. You healers out there, you that believe that healing is for today, I would challenge you. I would ask you, I would beg you, beseech you, please watch this story and listen to what this scripture says to you. Okay, you got to get this. Either it's for us all or it's for none of us. Okay, it can't be Some are a little, okay, and if it's for us, we better get on with it. And if it's not, what do you believe and why? Okay, here we go. Verse 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. We're going to find out later, this guy is about 40 years old, by the way. Okay? Who, seeing Peter and John, okay, who went by him? Peter and John. About to go into the, where? The temple. Where is this lame man standing? At near the entrance of the temple. Could not go into the temple, could he? And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, because he was lame. He had a blemish. He could not go into the temple. So he's standing there. Peter and John are going into the temple. They see him. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I mean, why is he there? You know, he's looking for money, right? How else is he going to take care of his needs? How's he going to feed himself? And he thinks he's going to get some coins, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into, where?
The temple.
Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Sounds like healing today, doesn't it?
No.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about healing and why. Not just a sign. Now, remember, we read 1 Corinthians 1:22 earlier, right? For the Jews require a sign. The second thing, let's go back to, keep your hand here, and go back to Leviticus chapter 21. Okay, in Leviticus chapter 21, we'll start in 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Why do we start in 16? So we know who's speaking and to whom is he speaking. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Aaron kind of runs the priesthood, right? Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed, whose seed? Aaron's seed, right? In their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. And now he's going to define, in case you need help understanding what a blemish is. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed, or crooked-backed, or a dwarf, or he that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scab, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Do you understand why healings had to happen? What does 1 Peter tell us that the Jewish nation is to be? A kingdom of what?
Priests.
How can they be priests if they have a blemish? Why is the lame man at the temple and could not go into the temple? Because he had a blemish. He was lame. We just read in Leviticus 21. That's one of the definitions of a blemish. Okay, Scripture proves Scripture. Okay, so let's come back to Acts chapter 3. Remember in verse 9 now. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, saw what? All these people running over here being, with great wondering. And when Peter saw it, He answered, unto whom? The people, verse 12. Okay, so now Peter's going to talk to the people. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. Does this sound like the same murder indictment he preached in Acts chapter 2? Yes, it does. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so, what's that word? Fulfilled. I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? Repent ye therefore. Okay, here we go again. So Acts 3:19, you hear Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19 so often used as why some people believe, repent and be baptized. 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Does any of that sound like now? It's all future. Three things future. May be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. He shall send Jesus Christ back to this earth, which was before preached unto you. Sorry, I just lost my spot. Okay, 21, thank you. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets. Okay, everything back here, Genesis to Malachi. Ye are the children of the prophets. Ye being the Jews that are there, right? And of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Okay, and, chapter 4, and, continuation of chapter 3. Again, we're within a year of the crucifixion. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold into the next day, for it was now eventide. Okay, so the religious leaders don't like what's going on here, do they? So they go, when they laid hands, meaning they took them in bondage, handcuffs, if you will. Okay, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. We heard 3,000 earlier, 5,000 now. They're getting on with the program, aren't they? Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19 program. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be converted. And it came to pass, verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? What's this? Remember, it healed the man. Okay, keep what came before this. Okay, the healing of the man is what's causing this great wonderment of the people. Okay, what caused this? By what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done, the good deed, healing that lame man, of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. He's made whole. So watch this now. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of who? Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone. Okay, what's that stone? That Christ is the Son of God. Okay, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they, who's the they? Okay, if we back up, the rulers, the elders, the scribes, right? That's who to whom Peter is speaking to here. Because they had just asked him. Remember, they took him in bondage, right? Okay, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, going back to Acts 2, right? Where they said, how can they speak in tongues? These are unlearned men. And ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against him. There's that man that was healed, standing right there. Okay, how are we going to deny this? But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them, okay, Peter and John, and they, the rulers, called them, Peter and John, and commanded them, Peter and John, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, and said unto them, whether it be right in the name of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. What was done? The healing of the lame man of 40 years. Verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Okay, so you get it right there. This guy had been lame for 40 years. They healed him. Sounds just like the healings we see on TV today, doesn't it? People that are lame from birth come and be healed. No, and by the way, let's just wait just a little bit here and see just how many people get healed by these men, these 12 men filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They're asking for that boldness. Now, watch the miracles that start here. Verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So let's watch this. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay, now first of all, first time you're seeing people other than the 12 filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's watch how this manifests itself. As in, let's still watch the healings that come and who does the healing. So remember, many other people here are filled with the Holy Ghost according to, you know, what saith the Scripture. Okay, everybody good that other people were filled with the Holy Ghost here? So let's see if that meant powers came with the Holy Ghost to those people that just received the Holy Ghost. That's my point. Those of you that believe it, please, let the Word do the talking. Study. Be an Acts 17 Berean that is noble because you study it out. What do you believe and why? And the multitude, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, like we saw at the end of the previous chapter. And with great power gave who? The apostles. Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the lands or houses, sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made every man according as he had need. Wow, we're having all things common. Again, those of you that want to pull your doctrine, excuse me, I should talk to the internet, right? Those of you that want to pull your doctrine out of the book of Acts, on what basis do you exclude? We saw it at the end of the end of the previous chapter. We see it here at the end of chapter 4. Watch what happens in 5. How do you exclude it? On what basis do you exclude it? You know, those of you say, well, the whole Bible is for us. Okay, why aren't you taking that? You took the very beginning of this when Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Acts chapter 3, 19, repent and be converted. If you're going to take that, why aren't you taking the rest of what he said at the same time? It is all in the same context. How can you take half and not the second if you believe that he's talking to you? On what basis? What do you believe and why? Okay, 30, 35, okay, just to get in context here, 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made every man according as he had need. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, so here we are again, right in this time period, within a year of the crucifixion. These people, you know, just like the apostles said, Lord, wilt thou, minutes before he ascended into heaven, Lord, will at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel. They're thinking the kingdom is coming. They're thinking the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, is coming. That's why they're selling out and having all things common. How are we going to survive this? You hear of denominations today. You hear of groups of people today that think we're going to go through the rapture. And what do they talk about? How can we save up? How can we store up? Some of that might even be, how can we have all things common because we're going to go through the tribulation? And no, we do not believe this Bible says that we're going through the tribulation. We do believe that, which we don't have here yet, once we get to the grace dispensation, that we who are saved by grace, how are you saved by grace? How are you saved by the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 3, 4, 5? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When he died, he shed his blood. Why did he shed his blood? For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He shed his blood for the sins that this guy, Steve Gottberg, was going to commit. He shed his blood for the sins of the entire world. Do you understand? There will not be one single person, if I put hell down here, that will be in hell because of anything they did, of any sin they did. Heresy. No. The people that will be in hell are the people that rejected, they heard the gospel of salvation and rejected that gospel for their salvation.
Right.
For crying out loud, God Almighty gave His only begotten Son to be crucified, not just to die for you, but to be a horrible death, to be crucified. But He had to shed His blood. That's the key. It was the shedding of blood that gave us the remission of sins. So those of us today that take that for our salvation, at the end of the grace dispensation, when this does start, the body of Christ will be, now we use the term raptured, but will be raptured to meet the Lord in the cloud, in the air. Okay? Now, they, on the other hand, know nothing about, that's why there's a blank here, they know nothing about the rapture of the body of Christ. They don't even know there's going to be a body of Christ. They think they're coming right into this period. I just brought that up earlier. Those, there are still people that may be saved by believing the right gospel, but they think they're going through this and they're storing up. They're getting gold coins and food and have a year's worth of food and maybe have some firearms because it's going to be a pretty tough time. Okay, coming back to chapter 5 now. So here's the program. They're selling out in here, right? We're going to have all things common. We're preparing. There's 8,000 people, 3,000 in one group, 5,000 in another group that were saved, added to the church, it says. So there's a pretty good group going here.
Right.
So they're all selling out, just like it said at the end of 4 and Barnabas there, having land, last verse 37, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. That's what they're all doing.
Right.
Now, let's watch this couple in chapter 5. But, capitalized, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, just like everybody else, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, stop for a second. You know, just in case, okay, let's go sell it. We got the money. Just in case this doesn't work, maybe we better keep a little bit in our own pocket here. You know, what do you say? And let's go bring the rest of the money.
Right.
Let's see how the Lord deals with that. Chapter 3, or verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to whom? To the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. If somebody had the power to call somebody up here, chastise them, and have that person fall down dead to give up the ghost, do you think fear would come upon us all? I think so. I know fear would come upon this guy. Great fear came upon them. Verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her
dead.
Found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Wow. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, back in Matthew chapter 12. Keep your hand here. Now, I want you to be, as we start to read, I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira, who basically just died. They gave up the ghost. Question, as we read this, tell me where they are today. And let's start in verse 31. So Matthew 12, 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Watch this. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. It may be 29 degrees outside, but I don't think it is where Ananias and Sapphira is. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so there's a term that we use a lot, the unpardonable sin. Okay? To blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Not necessarily a biblical term, but to blaspheme the Holy Ghost was unforgivable. You could not be forgiven, not in this world, nor in the world to come. All right. Verse 12 now. So I'm back in Acts 5. Verse 12. And by... Now watch, here we go with the healings again. Watch the context, gang. Miles Coverdale here, context, right? Watch the context now. Who's doing what? For or to whom? Okay, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Okay, now let's go back to the beginning of that parenthesis in verse 12. Okay, we're going to skip the parentheses this time. Okay, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Jump down to verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, watch this, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, how many?
Every one.
They were healed, how many?
Every.
Search the scriptures if you believe that healing is for today. How do you get by what the scripture saith?
Right.
Everyone was healed. By the way, let's also go back and define who was doing the healing.
Right.
Who was it in this? The apostles. Back in verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Okay, you got to get the context. Who's saying it? To whom are they saying it? What came before? What came after? The context, all that stuff. It tells you who's doing the healing. The apostles. All the people are bringing all the people that are sick, putting them in the streets, so even just the shadow of Peter might heal them. Do you think the apostles have some serious power? Could they heal people? Insomuch that they healed how many? Every one. At the end of verse 16. And they were healed every one. Don't play games with the scriptures. People's lives are at stake. Literally. And I don't mean whether they're healed or not physically. Their eternal salvation is at stake. We can't get chasing rabbits and chasing two or three scriptures and building a whole religion on it. The whole Bible has to make sense has to line up with what you're believing. If it doesn't, why do you believe? You know, what do you believe and why do you believe it? Get it from this book. Okay, it does make sense. When you put everything in context, and in context, 2 Timothy 2:15 will sure help. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, first of all, you got to divide it to figure out what parts are to you. The rest of it is for you. And you have to do it rightly, because there are wrongly ways to do it, if I can use that word. Okay? It is so critical. And for healings, there it is. Again, 1 Corinthians 1:22. Okay, what do the Jews require? A sign. They needed this. Okay, Greeks seek after wisdom in 1:22. They required this. They had to. Now again, why do we do all this? You know, rightly dividing, why do we go through and why are we studying now? And again, Wednesday we'll pick up right here and next Sunday we'll pick up, because we're studying back here to understand the transition, the fall of Israel. It started, you know, between the cross, between the rejection. Okay, Peter starts preaching. Now, the fall of Israel is starting. Okay, we're going to see the time of the Gentiles come in a few chapters here. That's where our apostle comes on, the apostle Paul. And he says throughout all of his writings that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, why does all this matter? Because of the gospel of your salvation. Because we saw in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, Peter saying, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. All you have to do is believe that when Christ died, shed his blood, he shed his blood for you. Just put your faith in that and that alone. And you know why, gang? You all have been experiencing some tremendous pain for 4 months now, 3 months now. You know, we joy in it too, because we know where Brother Barry is. It's amazing that December a year ago, so 12 and a half months ago, I was helping somebody put a company together, and I flew Barry up to Minneapolis, Minnesota in December of 2009. There were three other men I flew into that. One brought his wife. So here, I think there were 8 or 9 of us total sitting at this conference table for 2 days talking about putting together a nutrition company. Everybody knows how Barry, how good he is in nutrition. Not tomorrow, Tuesday. There's going to be a funeral Tuesday. And at this funeral, tell me if this story doesn't sound familiar. New Year's Day, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a person went upstairs just to rest. 6 o'clock. The rest of the family said, maybe we better go check. Sure enough, that person had died of heart failure at 31 years young. Never had heart problems. Now come on, gang. This is real life. That funeral is 2 days from today, two days from today. A couple that was sitting there with Barry Hampton a year ago. A couple that heard Jonathan's story. And boy, I hope they took that. Now, it wasn't one of those two. It was their daughter-in-law. 31 years old, died of heart failure. We don't know when our next breath will not come, when our breath will stop, do we? You all have experienced this. We all have experienced this. By the way, these people are Mormon, big time. And that's why I say I hope they took what Barry, you know, I mean, man, he laid the gospel on. You know Barry, he's going to, you know, if you die tonight, where are you going and why? What do you believe and why? Where are you going? You know, if you die tonight, where are you going and how do you know? I just reserved a website, ifyoudietonight.org, and we're going to work together and take a lot of Brother Barry's work there and put it all together. Because what if you died tonight? That girl's 31 years old, and it's New Year's Day, and everybody's festive and having a good time, and she just is tired. And went up to go to sleep. You don't know. Gang, listen to me. Why do we do all this? We don't need to know why healings existed. Are they for today? Are they not? Why did people speak in tongues? And was it really languages? Was it a heavenly language? We don't even need to discuss all that, because none of that matters. Because you might go take a nap today and never wake up. When was your moment of salvation? That's all that matters. That's why we rightly divide, because we want to make sure that we're not repenting and be baptized for our sins and relying in that. And by the way, do I have to confess my sins all the time now? And what if I didn't confess a sin? And what if I go to sleep and don't wake up and I had sinned and hadn't confessed it yet? And don't worry, none of that matters. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is what matters. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter or verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When He died, He shed His blood. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going quickly because I went over already, but 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's easy, gang. It is total belief in what He did back here. Nobody that goes to sleep and doesn't wake up is going to go to hell because of the sin they committed. Because if that was true, we'd all go to hell, because there's not one of us worth the gunpowder to take to blow us into hell. The only people that go to hell are the people that hear this gospel of salvation and reject it for their salvation. So be careful if you're sharing your testimony with someone. Make sure you share it properly, because if they've never heard the gospel of Christ, in some ways you'd be condemning them if you blow this opportunity. If you don't share that gospel clearly, the only reason people go to hell is rejecting that gospel of Christ. But the only reason people will be able to go to be with the Lord here is if they accept the gospel of their salvation as it's laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Accept that. Again, when was your moment of salvation? That's the key. All right, thanks for being here today. And again, Wednesday night we're going to pick right up here, continue this discussion. But I encourage you, I beseech you, go back and examine your salvation. As Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't get it wrong, gang. You don't know. You might be 31 and go to sleep, or go take a nap and just never wake up. Unbelievable.